Well, it's always nice to be able to go to a place when you're asked to speak where there's friends involved. That was very nice. Rod, I'm glad you're my friend. Mostly when I stand beside you, because I'm rather on the shorter side. Well, good morning. My name is Mike Roberts, and I'm the executive director of Seek and Find Ministries, which is located in Rantoul, Illinois. You know, it's always a little fun to see familiar faces as I share about Seek and Find and attempt to communicate the message that the Lord has given me today. Now, before we dive deep into it, I would like to say a little word of prayer and seek God's blessing on this morning and what it might look like to live mission-minded. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you, God, that you have assembled us together here today to hear your word and to share your truth. I pray, Lord God, that we might live every day as it might be our last, giving to you every opportunity that you give to us to love people, to care for people, to share with people. And I pray, Lord God, that you would use us for your glory and that we might be found worthy to be called children of God. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 13 through 14a. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. This is where the ministry of Seek and Find received its name. Now, if you notice, it's also got a little bit of a dual purpose. For the store, it's kind of an advertisement, a marketing line. When you read at Seek and Find Thrift Store, you just might find what you're seeking for. Okay. Well, the iconic music group U2, if you're familiar with them, had a number one song on the Billboard charts in 1987 entitled, "I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For." All I can say is, if they come on over to the store, they just might find it. Okay? But more importantly, Jeremiah 29, verses 13 through 14, really speaks to the heart of our mission. And that is to love God and others by helping people seek and find the better way of life, knowing that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. At our thrift store, we strive to help people live with dignity and personal responsibility by making it possible to affordably care for themselves and others. If you've ever been to the thrift store, you've seen that we really try to keep the needs and necessities of life at a very low cost. Adult clothing and shoes are $3 a piece. Children's clothing and shoes, $1.50 a piece. And many other household items that are at a very nice price. Our thrift store is a large part of our overall ministry. It employs 8 people and gives many of our volunteers a place to fellowship and earn in-store credit. Our staff also take the time to listen and pray with our customers, making it our mission to care for others and encourage them, always pointing them to Jesus Christ. It's the thrift store that helps Seek and Find to financially afford to break into other ministry opportunities. Allow me just to share just a few. We have our 24/7 Bible and food lockers that we have right outside our main thrift store doors. It's a great resource for those who are in need in the community to take what they need for themselves or their loved ones at home, food, and when it's past the hours of normal store operation or when regular food pantries may be closed, they can grab something to eat for that evening and have something for themselves or for their families. It's also been a great opportunity for those who want to give back simply by placing some excess food items in those boxes as well, so that they may share with others. It's been a great opportunity to be able to use these things. It's an easy thing. I set up a box, we put food in it, and people, as their need, come and grab what they need, or they put in what they would like for others. We also have some other helpful resources that are available on our website, such as we have Soft Skills for the Workplace. It's a video course. What Soft Skills in the Workplace does, it doesn't teach the hard skills like driving a truck or a forklift or anything like that, but what it does is the soft skills. When you're able to stand and talk and converse with a person, you look them in the eye. You dress appropriately for the interview. You work within a team environment. It teaches things like that so that when people do get a job, they can keep their job because they have the soft skills in order to work in that place. We also have a Rock Solid Finances video course online as well. And basically, it just teaches simple money management, which is a great thing. And all these things are free. All these things are free on the website. We also have some little things where people can just spend time with Jesus. 30 Days with Jesus reading plan. A Simply Sharing Jesus guide for if people want to learn how to share Jesus more practically, appropriately, the words maybe to say. We have that available on our website. And many other little things too. The last thing I want to share about Seek and Find is our new initiative, and that's the Chapel Cafe. Seek and Find is opening a soup and sandwich shop called the Chapel Cafe. Our plan is to be open on Saturdays from 11 to 1 for the public, serving soup and sandwiches to those in our community who might not otherwise get a meal, let alone a warm meal on the weekend. You know, when I first thought of this, I thought, well, you know, during the school year, kids got a place where they can go and eat something during the week. But when it comes to the weekend, for those who are struggling with different food insecurities, man, what's available if they don't have anything at home? And so we came up with this idea of having kind of like a soup kitchen, but we wanted some more substance to it, sandwich, chip, coffee, drink, that kind of stuff. And so we made it for a Saturday. The Chapel Cafe is not only a place to get a warm meal, but it's an opportunity also to serve a few hours on a Saturday. You don't even have to be a sandwich master chef, because the Lord only knows I'm not. I only eat what's put in front of me. And so if this type of service would be interesting to anyone, if any of you would have interest in it, please feel free to give me a call, contact me if you, your family, your small group would like to help on a Saturday morning. Well, undoubtedly, I certainly believe we are to seek the Lord. And when we seek the Lord as if our lives depend upon it, because it kind of does, He will be found by us. It's truly awe-inspiring to reflect, to really think about how good God is to those who are His. We just sang about that, didn't we? The goodness of God, the blessings that we can receive through God. Let's kind of run through this a little bit. All right, here's what we know. God loves us, right? God loves us. The Bible tells me so. Okay, God loves us. Our sin pulls us away from God. God is a holy God. He cannot stand the presence of sin, and when we sin, it separates us from God. God provides a way through Jesus to conquer our sin. Jesus willingly paid the price of our sin by dying for it. It took death to take away our sin, to pay the price for it. So, when we, sinners in need of saving, seek out God and ask Him to forgive our sin, this same sin in which He has already died for once and for all, in our sincere request, God places our guilt and transgression, replaces it with His goodness and truth, thus becoming our rescuer, our Savior, and to anyone else who believes and recognizes Him as such. That's who Jesus is. Now, when a person receives Jesus Christ as their Savior, what's next? Okay, is that it? No, that's not it. We got a whole life to live. You know, since Jesus paid the price for our sin and died for it, it would only make sense out of complete gratitude and love for what He has done for us is to live then for Him and for Him to live through us. Doesn't it make sense? He gave up His life for us, and in turn, we ought to allow Him then to live in us and through us to reach out to others. So, how does living for and allowing Jesus to live through us look like? Now, it's my understanding that you guys have been going through the book of James, right? Not quite done with it yet, but still going through it. Okay, well, hopefully this isn't a spoiler for what is to come, but a refresher for what has already been preached. In chapter 2 of the book of James, starting with verse 15, James instructs his listeners by saying, "If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Hey, go in peace, be warm and filled,' without giving them the things that they need for the body, what good is it? So also faith by itself, if it doesn't have some type of works with it, it's kind of dead, isn't it?" Now, this piece of scripture is a great jumping point for our teaching today. Our scripture passages this morning can be found in the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. Here the scene is set as Jesus and His disciples are on the Mount of Olives. This section of scripture is important. It's important to understand that there are some objective truths in this world which present opposing realities. As an example, a person is either with Jesus or they're not with Jesus. A person will either inherit eternal life or eternal separation from God. As we look in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, we will discover a few actions that will take place in future events. First, there's going to be some type of sorting, a sorting out. Now, we sort all kinds of things, don't we? When it comes to household items or personal belongings, we sort and separate what we would like to keep, to what we would like to donate, and to what we would just rather just throw away. Okay? We do the same process at Seek and Find Ministries. Anytime any items that are broke, stained, torn, or just all around unpleasing to the senses, we separate them from the donated items that are still good and useful. One group gets recycled or thrown away. The other group finds a new home and is a blessing to those who then purchase it from the store. It's good to know that many items, most items, that are donated end up being useful to others. This process of separating the good and the useful from everything else leads us to the beginning of our scripture this morning. Let's take a look at verses 31 through 33. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. This sorting of sheep and goats is something that would have been very familiar to the people of ancient Israel. Sheep and goats would often be herded together, but there was also times where they needed to be separated. Jesus is telling His listeners that He knows His people, and He can tell them apart. Just as a shepherd is easily able to distinguish between his sheep and the goats, the great shepherd will clearly be able to distinguish between those two as well. King Jesus directs the sheep to His right and the goats to His left. All right, second thing. We know that there's going to be a type of sorting. Second thing is, there will be some type of reward. The first group that Jesus addresses are the sheep who are on His right. Check this out in verses 34 through 40. Then the king will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or without clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer him, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me." All right, notice that King Jesus will say, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father." Now, we sang about it, but anybody else here feel blessed? I do. When I really think about all that Jesus has done for me from the day, well, even before the day I gave my life to Him, I didn't notice it back then. But as I look back on life, Jesus has been with me for a long time, as He is with all those who are His, even before people recognize who Jesus is. The Lord is with him, because you can see little things where, man, I could have gone real bad then, or I could have done something, or something could have happened to me that was terrible back then. But Jesus can and does spare us through some things while he lets us go through other things so that we may see our need for him in the future. But I know for me, I'm a blessed individual. Second, notice what Jesus says to the sheep who are on his right. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Come on. Somebody give me an amen on that one. Man, if you know, some of you know, we live a pretty good life. Some of us right here, right now, we got jobs, you know, we got a roof over our house, we got food in our belly and all that kind of stuff. But man, just wait when we get to see what Jesus has in store for us. Now, when I hear about heaven, I hear about a no more place of hunger, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain. Man, I can dig that. I'm waiting for that. I can stand to be here a little bit longer to do whatever he wants me to do, but I look forward to what he has in store. It's a mind-blowing concept. It's a mind-blowing reality, isn't it? To know that before God formed a single grain of sand on the earth, he planned a home in heaven for his followers. He had a kingdom prepared for us before there was any of us. Third, let's take a look at this. Jesus is pointing out here in verses 35 through 40. Jesus begins listing all the acts of kindness that the sheep on his right has shown him. He said that they were fed when he was hungry, that they gave him something to drink when he was thirsty, that they took him in as a stranger. They clothed him when he needed clothing. They took care of him when he was sick. And they visited him when they were in prison. These are what the sheep are saying to Jesus. I mean, this is what Jesus is saying to the sheep. And the sheep going, huh? You know, they don't quite understand it. Have you ever done something? I know I'm probably talking mostly to about myself here. Have you ever done something that you don't remember doing? Okay? And you were called out for it then. In those moments, it's kind of like a deer in the headlights, right? You're called out for something. What was it? Urkel from a long time ago. Did I do that? You know? And you just don't remember it. It's like a deer in the headlights. You know, the vehicle is coming closer and closer, and you're just frozen there, staring, not can't think of the time or the place or anything like that, hoping and praying that someone will steer the conversation in a whole nother direction. Well, those followers of Jesus, whom he had called righteous, were just rather perplexed themselves as well. They didn't think they've done these things. They don't remember doing them to Jesus. And then Jesus basically says, whatever you have done to the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, to those who found themselves in these circumstances, you've done them to me. Then the lights click on. Jesus equates these acts of kindness to those whom Jesus calls his brothers and sisters with acts of kindness that are directed to him. I ask the question, what do we do once we have come to know Jesus as our Savior? How should our response be? And I believe this is how we live for Jesus. It comes from the overwhelming gratitude and love for all that he has done for us and gone through to make us right before God Almighty. This is what we do. We show others who Jesus is by being Jesus with skin on, in a way, in front of them, to them, so that they can not only read about him, that they might be able to see Jesus in our own life, in our own actions. We can do more than talk a good faith, can't we? I mean, we can let other people know, I'm a Christian. You know, I help you because it feels good. I do this because of Jesus. But we can walk it as well. We can show people who we are by what we do. You know? And sometimes that speaks a lot louder than what our communication can. Plus, we get to inherit a kingdom too. And that's a plus. All right? Finally, there will be some condemnation. Okay? We read in the scripture verse, there's a plus for those who follow Jesus. There's also a reaction for those who do not. And scripture calls it condemnation. It's nothing we put upon people, but the creator of the universe to his creation. This is part of his job. This passage is pointing out a contrast. As there are sheep, there are also goats. As there is a reward, there is also condemnation. Verse 41 gets right to the point. Then he also said to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Here in this verse, we can see some real judgment here. Real consequences for those who reject God now and reject his ways. The king will pronounce them as accursed, and they are to receive a hard punishment that results in eternal fire that has been prepared for the devil and his angels. When we think about the devil and his angels, we think, dude, they're evil. It's just wrong. It's bad. It's evil. It's not good. They deserve it. What we don't necessarily think about often is, if we reject God now in this life that we're living, and we say, no, God, I don't need you. I don't want you. I have no use for you. Then God grants us our wish. And he continues to separate us throughout eternity. Think for a moment about the implications of this. This same judgment that is reserved for the devil and his angels will also be poured out on those who reject God and his ways. Let's take a look at the rest of these verses in verses 42 through 45. It reads, "And the people are perplexed again." You know, these people, the ones on his left, the goats, they're going, "When did we see you this way or that way? And didn't do, you know," and they're just as perplexed. And Jesus is equating the same type of response as to the others. "For when I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you didn't take me in. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you didn't take care of me." And they too will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or without clothes, sick or in prison and not help you?" And Jesus will say again, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you didn't do it for me." As Jesus equates the acts of kindness shown from those who were on his right to the least of these as if they were doing it to him, he also equates them with the lack of kindness shown from those on his left, and how they've ultimately treated Jesus, the King. Jesus sums it all up in verse 46. He says, "And they will go away into eternal punishment, but..." Oh, man. Don't you dig a good but when it's right there and you need it? They will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. That tells me we got a choice, right? We can go to one, or we can go to the other. And it's where we've put Jesus in our life and how we treat him by treating others. All right. Well, I certainly know which side I want to be on. But if you're here today and you're not quite sure what side you were on, the right or the left, the good news is there's still time. There are many folks here today that can help you determine what side you're on and what side you want to be on. All you have to do is ask. In closing, I think Matthew makes it pretty clear here that if a person has received Jesus as their Savior, they live like it, they act like it, and they treat others the way Jesus has treated them, with love, with grace, forgiveness, mercy, and just a little bit of kindness. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for being a merciful and just God. We thank you that you have led us to yourself, and that you are continuing to lead many to yourself. Help us to be in the work that you are in by pointing people to Jesus, by what we say, by what we do, by who we are, so that no one, when it comes time to gather all the nations, that they will be found wanting, that they will be found in a position where they would not rather be, but that all people who take a look at us in what we say and what we do can see Jesus, and then they might be able to start asking questions about how can I live for Jesus as you live for Jesus. Give us that, Lord, those opportunities, and help us to make the most of it. We give you all the glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.